Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Gaining attention will put you light years ahead and give you tremendous success and the ability to scale rapidly. Like, I have five people I know that have created billion-dollar businesses in the past 5 years.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy. Now live, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano. Missing the pastels, huh, bro?
Yeah, it's you know, it's transitioning, okay? It's going into fall here in East Tennessee, so we gotta be appropriate with it, you know what I mean?
Dude, we're talking about Florida today, running away from California. The taxes suck in California. Come to Florida, everybody. I am a New Yorker who left 3 years ago, and I ain't looking back. That's all I gotta say, Jake.
Time to make your move before they label you an economic deserter. Look that up. That's all I gotta say about that. So we have a very special guest today. Today's guest is Brendan Kane, author of Hook Point, How to Stand Out in a 3-Second World. It's probably going down to 2 seconds after this show. Brendan is a digital strategist for Fortune 500 companies, global brands, and celebrities. In his book, he breaks down the most effective strategies to generate new opportunities, innovate, and scale businesses. I definitely want to take a deep dive into that and create a compelling brand online and off. So without further ado, Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, this is very relevant, you know, especially with, you know, more and more people staying at home, you know, being stuck on those electronic leashes. So before we get too far deep into it, let's get a little background on you and how you got your start in business.
So how I got to start in business is I initially went to film school because I wanted to produce movies. And as soon as I got there, I quickly realized that they do not teach you anything about business in film school. So I figured that I would have to find a way to really learn about it. And I figured the best way to do that is by starting your own companies. And at the time, and it still holds true today, the most cost-efficient way to start a business was online. So while I was going to college, I was just experimenting and creating a few internet companies to really see what it took to get something up and running and to operate and manage it. And then when I moved to Los Angeles back in 2005 to pursue a career in film, it's when the entertainment industry started to reawaken to digital after the dot-com bust. And as the subject matter goes in the book, is like I had to find a way to stand out. If you move to LA and there's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of other, thousands of other people trying to become movie producers. And I just saw speaking in the same way about my goals and aspirations just was falling flat. So I leveraged my knowledge in starting those internet companies because I saw a lot of prominent producers, actors, and directors asking, well, how do we leverage this medium, this digital medium? And social media was just coming out on the scene to effectively market our movies. Because it's interesting, when a movie's done, there's like a sense of anxiety and panic that comes over people. It's like, we just spent all this money. How do we make sure that we actually get people to show up at the box office? Exactly. It's like gambling. And so that's how I got my foot in the door into that industry and spent a few years managing digital divisions for two studios, overseeing the theatrical release of campaigns ranging of films with budgets ranging from like $15 to $100 million. And that also afforded me the ability to work directly with the actors and the producers and the screenwriters to further syndicate their brand online. And then just quickly realized that, you know, most people think the film industry is this sexy creative industry, but it's just another corporation. And I'm not a corporate person by any means. I am an entrepreneur at heart. I admire all my corporate friends that are able to stick it out, but that's just not me. So I left and I started building tech platforms and licensing them back to big media companies. So I built technology platforms for like Vice and MTV and Viacom, Paramount, Lionsgate, Yahoo, to name a few. And it was really the MTV partnerships that opened up the doors to work with big celebrities like Taylor Swift and Rihanna and Michael Strahan on their technology presence. And then from there, just kind of kept diving into the entrepreneurial space and the the media and social space as well.
So Brandon, why film school?
I love movies. That's kind of like my first passion, my first love. And I really thought it was a bit different, as you do when you're young. You have these dreams of doing things, and then you get into them and you're like, it's completely different than anything you anticipated, which is a good experience to have.
Guilty, guilty here as well.
Wait, Jake is the co-founder of CrossFit. You'd never know, right? Because Jake can tell his 30-second story. Mr. Stenziano, would
you
share
that with everybody? No, real quick. So I grew up in a small town and I played sports. So I became a gym teacher for like a couple months, and then I was out of that quick. I went to school for that and I peaced out because I realized it was a glorified babysitting job. So I feel your pain, my friend. I understand what you went through. So.
I don't know if I call it pain. You know, that's the only way.
It was painful for me. Trust me. I was miserable. I was like, these kids don't want to play dodgeball. I'm like, Dad, what the hell's wrong with the world? So yeah, I went through some shit, but anyways, man, it's all good. So,
I just see it as a learning experience, you know?
What favorite film?
Of all time?
For you.
That's a tough question.
It's
because I see so many movies. It's kind of sad when I go onto iTunes or Netflix to look for new movies to watch. I've seen all of them. I can just name a few that come off the top of my head, is like Shawshank Redemption.
I was just going to say that, bro. Yes. It's one of my favorite, dude. I love that movie.
And then I love like the classic comedies like Ghostbusters and like Caddyshack. So those are a few. I really love, even though seeing it from the inside, I love movies that claim to be based on true stories, even though they completely change every.
It's way better that way, right?
Yeah. But
so let me ask you, what to you makes a good film or a good movie or a good story? Because you know, Jake and I are in the multifamily space, and you know, we teach how to raise capital. And knowing a good story and understanding what makes a good story will help our listeners maybe craft their own message.
Yeah, it's a great question, because we see that to your point of pitching people in person or closing business, because I've had to do it for the better part of my career, going into boardrooms with the likes of like MTVs and Vices of the world, and then also having to do it to close financing as well for companies that I was raising. But to me, the element of a good story is, you know, one, how do you really start the story? That's probably one of the most important parts of it. Because and I find this with myself, I don't know if you guys see it, is the world that we live in today, there's so much content available when you talk about movies or television, that if it doesn't capture me in like the first 3 to 5 minutes, I'm moving on because there's so much choice. And I believe the same applies to raising capital or strategic business partners. I mean, they say that people can trust or know who you are within the first 5 to 15 seconds by reading your body language, your expressions, things of that nature. So that starting point is a huge part to that story, because if you don't capture them in that first part of the story, they're not going to really care about the middle or the end of it. Mm-hmm. In addition, the important factor, especially when you're talking about raising capital, is understanding that you need to have a middle and end to it. Most people will just kind of just whine on about their business and stop, and not stop talking, versus, you know, taking a succinct story, maybe 3 to 5 minutes max, and then stop and check in and understand, do you have an active listening base? And that's the beauty of pitching in person, or even doing like a video Zoom call. You can read their facial expressions, their body language. Are they with you? Mm-hmm. If they're not, then stop and check in. Is just because you're on this path of a story. If somebody's like looking at their phone or just not even paying attention to what you're saying, then check in and see where it's falling off and adjust your path. That's another beauty of it. Is like, I learned this in years of going in and to boardrooms with huge companies, whether it's for raising capital, strategic partnerships, or closing your multi-million dollar business development deals, is we would never go in with a stock pitch or presentation and just go through the pages or go through the paces, because oftentimes that will dig you into a hole. Mm-hmm. Is you may go in there with an understanding of how you perceive your business, how you perceive the opportunity and the challenges that you're solving, but they may perceive it in a completely different way. So I always love to start that of understanding, who am I speaking to? Mm-hmm. You know, how do they perceive the world? How do they perceive specific obstacles or challenges? And then tailor my story based upon that. Because if you just go in and maybe you say hello or, you know, just the pleasantries, and then you just dive in, you could be going in a direction that they completely don't believe in. They completely don't buy into. And then you spent 30 minutes and then there's no, it's very difficult to win that audience back.
Mm-hmm. Don't be a robot.
Yeah. So you said really important, the beginning. Can you give us an example or an idea of how to really create that? And like you see how Jay comes on live.
Yeah.
So Jay comes on live. He introduces the podcast, but that's Jay. He's got a ton of energy. He's ready to go. You know, give the average listener out there, how do they start out a great story? How do they start and get that hook point? Because like you said, I think the average person watches a video for 6 seconds. That's their average time frame. And then they're out. So if you don't capture that person and get their attention, how you know, what tips would you give to do that?
Yeah, well, we see, especially when we're talking about like social content, you have less than 3 seconds. Like when I say a 3 second world, it's predicated based on back in the day, Facebook and Instagram, all these companies would count a view at the 1 second mark. And advertisers were up in arms because when they were advertising and they were getting charged, they were getting charged on a 1 second view, which didn't show intent.
Count it.
So it's that 3 second mark that counts as a view. And what we talk a lot about is pattern interruption, because the world that we're living in today, you're no longer competing against your direct competition. You're competing against every piece of content out there. There's over 60 billion messages sent out on digital platforms each day between push notifications, social media, text messages, emails, all of that. There's so much noise. So like it or not, you're competing against LeBron James, Kim Kardashian, Netflix, CNN, all these different mediums. So when people are swiping up or people are taking meetings with tons and tons of people, they're inundated. So how do you interrupt that pattern and get people to stop?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the biggest mistakes that people make with that is oftentimes what they're doing is they're saying the exact same thing in the exact same way as everybody else. Everybody loves to think that their ideas and their business and service is unique, but it's all been done. It's all been said. Same thing in the film industry. It's the same stories and the same character arcs and the same character backstories that are told over and over again. They just contextualize it in different ways.
And it's the same jokes in the trailers. I'm like, it's the same corny shit that they think will be mass appeal. I'm so sick of that when I'm seeing those.
So first understanding that, and I'm not saying that you don't have a unique spin on it, but when we work with clients to solve this issue, we say it's not about your content and we're not going to change who you are and what you say. It's about the context. It's how we're going to shape it in a different way to say it. So one of the prime examples that I talk about is, let's say that we are launching a meditation app or a meditation business. Now, meditation has been around for thousands of years. If you type meditation into Google, there's billions of results that come up. Now, what most people will do is they'll say, well, meditation is the key to success, or meditation is the key to contentment or happiness or relieving anxiety and stress, which it does those things. But we've heard that. So if I'm swiping up in the feed and I see meditation is the key to success, I already know what that video is going to be about. I don't need to stop. I'm going to keep scrolling. So how do I create that pattern interruption? How do I get somebody to stop? One of the tools that we use, and we don't use it all the time, we use it sparingly in the right places, but is subverting expectations. So how I would flip that on its head is I would create a video ad or something that says meditation is a scam. And then when people are swiping up, they're going to be like, what? Meditation is a scam. They're going to stop. And the way that I would structure that story is to say, listen, have you been in a position where you've just tried everything about meditation, it just completely doesn't work for you? It almost feels like a scam. Well, I've been there. And the reason is that you've got so much misinformation about what meditation should be or shouldn't be. Let me share a few tips on what I've learned as a non-meditator to get meditation to work for me. So what I did is I just flipped what typically is always said on its head to capture somebody's attention. So now let's talk about going into a boardroom and raising capital. How would I go about doing that? So one way is, once I'm starting the story of how I came up with the company or the reason behind it, is what is going to grab somebody's attention? So you can start off by saying, you know what? One day I woke up, I was walking down the street and I thought I was going to die, and pause there. And then you can walk into that, how that experience sparked the idea for the business, is saying something that's completely unexpected in that first few seconds. Like, you'll see content creators do this, like Gary Vaynerchuk is a master at doing this with his team, is that if you watch his videos, what they'll do is the first 3 to 5 seconds will be pulled from like the end of the video or the middle of the conversation and put up front to grab people's attention before you go into it. And that's a perfect analogy of how you create social content, or even going into that boardroom, is what is that pattern interruption? Because if you're pitching somebody, they've probably heard millions of people pitching them for money. What is that one thing that's going to get them to stop and hang on the next word that you're going to say?
I love that. So Jake, we would say, you know, multifamily real estate is a scam. You're going to lose all your money if you invest in multifamily.
Multifamily investing is dead.
Done. And then, you know what? If you do what I did back in 2005, it will be. So I love that.
Gina's going on the offensive right now.
That's actually, the pattern interrupter is great because I use it on my kids. My son yesterday came to me, Jake and Brendan. He's like, oh, I'm a little tired. I want to go to the office tomorrow. I stood up, got in his face and go, bro, if you're going to be tired at home, you can be tired in the office. Get your ass and go to the office. Damn. He came in this morning. So the
Rick
pattern
fired you up yesterday.
That's right, dude. The pattern interrupt works. It works on everybody. You know, you got to shake them up a little bit. So, man, that is a freaking awesome.
But I love
tip,
that
everybody.
Example, because, and I'm not suggesting that you guys would use that, but nobody goes in and says multifamily real estate is a scam. And then
why not? Let it rip, man. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're just going to swipe past the rest of your shit. Maybe they'll actually land on this one. Why not?
And then you tell them why it isn't. I love that. Yeah. You've got a bunch of stuff here. So give us a couple of ways to implement methods to accelerate demand for your brand. I mean, our brand is out there. We've got a pretty good brand. We've been doing it for 5 years. We have 2 best-selling books. We've got about over 2 million downloads on iTunes, on our podcast, various different platforms. How do we accelerate that brand, of demand for our brand?
Well, the first, this concept of a hook point is really about grabbing attention. And there's 3 key pillars to making that happen. And if these 3 key pillars are working together, this is where I've really seen demand accelerate, whether it was in, you know, marketing movies or working with big musicians like a Taylor Swift to, you know, launching startups. But that first one, as we just talked about, is really getting somebody to stop that pattern interruption. Because if you can't get somebody to stop in that first 3 seconds, you have no chance of them knowing who you are, what your brand is, what your value is, what your purpose is, what your why is. So that first 3 seconds is critical because it allows you to win the next part of the conversation, the next 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and so on.
You could be the best, but if they're not going to ever see you, it's meaningless. It becomes like
100%.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you've heard this a lot, is like the best product doesn't always win. It's really the marketing behind it. And if people don't know who you are, if you can't get people to pay attention to your brilliance, then how can you have any chance of succeeding? Like, for you guys, you could have the best real estate deal in the world, but if you can't get a single person to take a meeting with you, then, well, how are you going to convey that to them? And what most people will do is they'll try and almost like vomit up all this information in the first 3 to 5 seconds. People will get overwhelmed or turned off and they'll just move on. Like, there's this sweet spot that you have to find, is you don't want to express too much and just overwhelm the person. You don't want to express too little where you just can swipe past and know what it's about. It's like, you've got to find that sweet spot in the middle. So once you have somebody's attention, it's what we also talked about, is the story. Okay, you have my attention. Now, what are you going to tell me? Is what is that narrative, that story you're going to tell me to retain that attention? And when we work a lot in the social spaces, that's what the algorithms are looking for, is they're designed to look for content that's retaining users, because that's how they make money, is keeping people on their platform longer. So the longer you can retain the attention, the more people it'll be exposed to. And it's the same in the offline world. The more that you retain the attention of the person on the other side of the table, the more likely you are to win that deal and also get referrals to other people. Now, the third part, which is often overlooked, is am I doing it in a credible voice? Am I earning the trust? Do people believe what I'm saying? Because if you have if you win their attention, you tell an effective story, but they don't believe it, if you're not credible, then it doesn't matter. So those 3 pillars have to work together. Without the attention, you never get to the story. With the attention and not a good story, you lose that attention. And by winning the attention and telling a good story, but not doing it in a believable way, in doing it authentically, it falls apart. Now, it seems simple to do that, but it's not necessarily easy, especially the winning the attention part. When all three of those play together and you have something solid, that is where real scale can come from. It's like in our business, like I'm known for my first book, 1 million followers. This is the same formula I apply to generating 1 million followers in 100 countries in 30 days. Is like with my team, it's the same formula we've used to generate over 40 billion views online. You know, it's the same formula I've used offline to close hundreds of millions of dollars of deals in business development. So that's really where I see the scale coming in at, is with that formula.
So everyone out there, write it down, the three pillars. Number one, pattern interrupt. Number two, narrative, keeping the attention. And number three, if you're full of crap, it ain't going to work. You need to be credible. You need to have all three of those working.
This is the thing, though. This is where people get turned off by online marketing, though, is because there are people that are good on the front end, maybe seem authentic, but then they're full of shit and don't fulfill. So that's like, don't be that guy, right? You know, I think that for us, we struggle probably a lot with the marketing, probably authentic, and we're great in the fulfillment, but it's you know, if you're going to get the marketing right, make sure you can fulfill on it. Cause I think that's where so many people get turned off. So that's a great point you bring up, Gino.
So yeah. Talk about that a little bit, Brendan. How do you get people's attention? Because, you know, basically, we are not the flashy Lamborghini Ferrari guys. How do you grab that attention online, especially?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways. And in my book, Hook Point, I went off and interviewed some of the top minds in creative direction and copywriting. And one of the individuals, a friend of mine, is one of the top copywriters in the world. And he sold over $1 billion worth of products online. And one of the tools that he says, especially when we're not talking about the fanciness of it, of like the Lamborghinis and things, which certain people do use and it can be effective, but it's not required. Mm-hmm. And one of the tools that he uses, and he sells a lot of health supplements. And one of the brilliant things that he said that I think is so true is, if you can articulate the problem of the individual on the other side of the table better than they can articulate it to themselves, that is where tremendous trust and credibility comes into. And again, with any type of marketing that you do, whether it's online or offline, one of the key things that I see people do wrong is they're designing content and messages based upon how they perceive the world or what they want to achieve. Instead of putting yourself in the other person's shoes on the other side of the table or on the other side of the screen, and what they're thinking, what are their challenges? What's keeping them up at night? How do they perceive your products, your services? That's why when you said earlier, you know, multifamily investing is a scam, some investors may be thinking that. Now you guys know that space better than I, but putting yourself into those shoes, and we use a lot of,
I think it just grabs people's attention. Like, I think if people be like, what the hell is this, man? So I think they would take a step further to dive into. I don't even think people are necessarily thinking that. I think it would throw them off so much that they'd be like, I got to see what the hell this is about, right?
Yeah.
But here's the problem with that, though. To me, then if they see it and you're just using it as a hook and you can't like take it to the next level, they're probably going to tune out too. So it's got to be, yeah, I think that authenticity piece may be.
And that's why the three pillars come into play, because we're not talking about clickbait, because clickbait.
That's where I'm saying that may be clickbait, right? Multifamily investing is a scam. So that's where I get a little tossed up.
Again, it goes back to the use case. Some investors worry that that they've been pitched so many times, is this a scam?
This is where I'm taking my own seat and saying, I don't believe it is. So that's why, like, I'd need to know from the people. And that's why you're probably coming and saying it's right. Cause I probably get in trouble in marketing because I take my own views without knowing, like doing a focus group or something and just assuming everyone thinks the same way. So you're probably, I think what I'm saying is you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause again, it's like, what is the person saying on the other side of the table? Like, did you guys ever see that movie, 8 Mile with Eminem?
Yes. I never saw that. No.
Okay, so the story for those who are listening that haven't seen it is it's a loose true story of Eminem's background, of how he became a rapper and kind of rose to fame. And there's the last scene of the movie, he does a rap battle against like the top rapper in the community. And what he did was so brilliant is that he knew how people made fun of him because he was white, because he was short, and all these things. So he went into this last battle, which everybody expected him to lose. And they expected him to lose because of his limitations of a white person rapping in a predominantly African-American community. So what he went and started was, in the same way that we talk about, is multifamily investing a scam. He started the rap battle by saying all the things that the person that he was competing against would say about him. So he started ripping on himself and making fun of himself before he attacked the other person. And what that did is it took away the other person's ammunition to battle against him. And that's the same instance here is, when somebody's going into an investment deal or raising money or buying a product, what are they thinking in their head? Like, what are their thoughts? Is like, oh, is this person trustworthy? Is this person a scam artist? Is this information going to work for me? And putting it out there, most people are scared to tackle that head on. But if you do that, you can win attention and also win a lot of trust and credibility if you deliver on that.
So everyone, this is the gem for the month, because what Brandon just did is he just did a sales objection. He's doing what we call an accusation audit.
I got you, bro, right?
Yeah, you like that, huh? You know, because it comes to me. But this is important, because if you're a salesperson out there and you're young, you start off your pitch by saying, you know what? I'm young, I'm inexperienced, but I've got a great team out there. So you throw all the crap out in front. They can't come up with it because you've already outlined everything that's wrong about you or anything that you perceive yourself as a weakness, and then back that up with strength. So that is genius for all you sales guys out there and ladies out there that are in the space and are trying to close deals to raise capital. You know what? You can say, I'm inexperienced. This is the first time I'm raising capital, but I'm connected with a syndicator who's been doing it for 10 years. Look at their team. I'm utilizing their team. So there's always a way to craft the message. And I think it's genius what Brandon said.
If you can
about
do it in rap format, right, is even better. It's Chris Voss marketing. It's Chris Voss Acquisition Edit Marketing. I think it's awesome.
I love that. One more question before I guess we get to the short answers to the personal growth. How do you leverage existing traffic to exponentially increase your social media following? I love that question, because you've got traffic, you've got stuff on. How do you leverage that to take it to the next level?
Yeah, so one of the tools that I express to people, if they're looking to scale or if they're just starting out, is leveraging pre-existing traffic sources to drive back to you. So one of the perfect examples of this is YouTube. So YouTube sold for $1.6 billion in less than 22 months. How did they do that? Well, they basically funneled all of MySpace's traffic. At the time, MySpace didn't have a video player. YouTube created one of the first embeddable video players for MySpace and got MySpace users to put it on their profile. And then once everybody saw that you had a YouTube video, then you clicked on the YouTube link and wanted to get your own. Mm-hmm. So they funneled all of MySpace's traffic. Now, Instagram did the same thing off of Facebook. Airbnb did the same thing off of Craigslist. So I always look at that analogy of, okay, who currently has the traffic source? How do you tap into it? In the real estate world, maybe it's not online. Maybe it's a partner or somebody that knows investors that you can tap into. It's like, what are those traffic sources that you can tie into to drive back to your brand, to drive those leads into your business?
Love that.
Very nice. Very nice. What is your best habit for success?
Constantly experimenting and learning.
Test and measure.
Yeah. Test and measure is constantly what we're doing.
The entrepreneurial algorithm there. So
expand on that a little bit, because a lot of people out there are fearful. And when you're fearful and you don't want to make a mistake, how do you get over that? For Jake and myself, we've made so many mistakes and we've gotten used to it. It's like, it's just another one, right? But I mean, for somebody starting out there and not wanting to look stupid on camera or not wanting to sound stupid, how do you get over that? I mean, it's a big limiting belief for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, I mean, I still get fearful of choices and making experiments is understanding that fear is just an emotion and really diving in and understanding what is causing that fear. Mm-hmm. Is it real fear that's coming in the present? Like there's a tiger in front of you and you have to be fearful for your life, or is it something from your past experience from childhood or something that is bringing up that fear? And then once you can delineate between the two, then you can make the right choice. Is this a real fear that I need to pay attention to? Is it something that is trying to protect me and I'm in harm's way? Or is this just kind of a warning signal to say, hey, listen, you should be careful with this. You're not going to die off of it, or it's not going to, you know, risk you or your family's life, but pay attention to it. And then once you have that awareness, then you can make a choice. And, you know, me doing this for 15 plus years is I still get fearful, but I've made the decision that I'm not going to let that fear dictate me. Is it still there? Is it still difficult to deal with? Sure. Mm-hmm. But you have the ability to make that choice as, am I going to let that control me, or am I going to still move forward with the choice that I think is the best for my business or growth?
I love that. I'll give you the perfect analogy. Jake and I were doing a 5-day Facebook challenge next week. So anyone who wants to check it out, it is on Multifamily Property Challenge group. Join the group. It's a private group. We've never done one before. We don't know what to expect. I'm not attached to the expectations or to the results of what happens, whether we sell $1 or $1 million. That's not my goal. My goal is to complete it, to see how well we did, and let's focus on the next one. It's always about the long game for us and trying to get better. If you can focus on that, don't worry about the goal. Worry about the person you need to become to hit that goal. Then you're going to do better, because the first one is always, we've never done one before. So what do you expect? So I think people, we set the bar too high. And then when we don't get close to that bar, we think we failed. Just doing one from nothing. Jake and I can barely turn on a computer. Actually going live for 5 days and having content and being able to teach people, that's a win in and of itself. So don't be set up to the expectations or to the goal. Just try to get it done. Learn from it. Like Brendan said, test and measure, and then you'll do fine on the next one. And you'll just continue to grow because you'll learn from those experiences.
What's the worst thing that could happen? You know, we might learn something. That's about it. So let's talk about scaling. Any tips for people scaling their business?
Yeah, a lot of it has been the theme that we've been talking about today is if you really want to scale your business, the number one tool and asset that you have to learn is how to grab people's attention. Because without it, you can't succeed. And, you know, with it, it gives you all the opportunity in the world, no matter what medium we're talking about, whether it is organic social, paid social, whether it's offline business development deals. Is if you're looking to scale, figure out what makes somebody stop. Like one of the exercises I give people in the book is imagine you're given the cover of a prominent magazine in your niche, and the editor calls you and says, you're going to be on that cover. You're going to be the only person there. What is the title or the headline that you want that represents your brand, your product or service? And then as you're doing that, imagine your core audience walking down a busy street, passing a magazine stand, and there's 50 other magazines on there. What is that headline that's going to make you stand out? And when doing that exercise, I say, don't come up with one. Come up with as many as you can. Go come up with 10, 15, 20. And then once you've hit a wall, push yourself even further. Because that's typically that discomfort will create unique ways of standing out, unique ideas, and then test. Just test them all against each other. Most people will come up with one concept or one idea and they'll never test it, and they'll be happy with the results. And maybe it's success,
we're guilty,
successful
that,
for them, but it doesn't scale to the level that they really can.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of testing and measuring going on here. Talk about the last few months. How's your business changed through COVID? What are you doing differently? Any kind of key takeaways or tips and how you've been pulling through?
Well, a lot of, I would say, the shift is for my clients and understanding human behavior and how human behavior has shifted. Because COVID has shifted the way that we're all living in a dramatic way. So for example, I have a lot of clients who are focused heavily on retail revenue. So luckily we were set up for, you know, looking at how people interact in the future through online marketplaces like Amazon and Instacart and Shipt and things of that nature. So I think that the biggest change has really been the way that consumers are interacting with the world, how they're purchasing, how they're making decisions, how they're interacting with people in business and making those specific adjustments. And for us, it's been relatively a smooth transition and also fun because we study psychology and human behavior all the time for all of our businesses and clients. So it's really interesting to see how the consumer market has really shifted.
So let me ask you on that point with real estate, where do you see retail going as far as strip malls, as far as regular malls? Do you see that business contracting and seeing fulfillment centers and industrial gaining ground?
Yeah. So my brother is in real estate analytics on the commercial side. So he sees a lot of data on this, and that is where it seems to be trending. I mean, you see where the major real estate deals are happening commercial. It's really the Amazons of the world that are going in and buying up warehouses and old malls and things of that nature for fulfillment. And I think that really the future is predicated on the innovativeness of these small businesses and retailers. Is how do they adjust? You're like, I'm not sure how it is where you're at, but like LA is, they're getting smart. If they can't host consumers inside for dinners and stuff, they'll set up in the parking lot, you know. Or how do major retailers adjust of transitioning their business to ordering online or picking up at store, or what do those in-store experiences look like? Those companies or businesses that innovate in this time will thrive in the future. But those that choose not to do anything, they just kind of throw their hands up and are like, I give up, I don't know what to do, or I'm powerless. Those businesses aren't going to survive. And it's sad to say, but I would say a vast majority of those businesses are not taking this opportunity to look at their overall business and how they can transition based upon where consumer behavior is at.
What about a book recommendation?
I would say book recommendation. There's a great book called Contagious by Jonah Berger, who studied virality and why people share.
It's not like a Corona joke, though.
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
Well, it's kind of like, it's based on that, but it's based on virality in a sense, but it's a great book that studies the psychology and human behavior of why people share things versus not share things.
And that just got flipped up on its head. Right? We'll leave that there. What project are you excited about right now?
I think we're really launching this book right now, because it's more timely than ever. One of the other big transitions that we've seen is, as soon as COVID hit, the level of social media activity and usage of social platforms just went through the roof. Now, some of it is a little bit crazy because people are locked in their houses, and that kind of releases a tremendous amount of anxiety, tension, and emotion. But it's just the fact of where the consumption behavior is going, the competitiveness of the world, and just how gaining attention will put you light years ahead and give you tremendous success and the ability to scale rapidly. Like, I have five people I know that have created billion-dollar businesses in the past 5 years, just mastering the art of gaining attention. So that's what's really exciting for me.
Movie recommendation.
What's that, Gino?
Movie recommendation, other than Shawshank Redemption.
Gina's looking for something to do tonight.
The movies are. I love the Avengers, but I mean, how many?
Gina, I'll give it to you right now. Yellowstone is fucking amazing, and Peaky Blinders. I'm into that one right now.
I know you like the Vikings. I mean, there's only so much Vikings I can watch, dude. I'm on season 4. I love it, but every now and again, I don't want to see people dying all the time. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Oh wait, you're not asking me. You're asking Brendan.
Yes, I am.
There's a show on Apple Plus that I'm surprised by called Ted Lasso. That's pretty funny.
Writing it down.
It's not the most amazing movie, but it's pretty good. I watched it over the weekend. Is the new, it's not really a Sherlock Holmes movie, but it's the Millie Bobby Brown plays the sister of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
And it's a Netflix movie, and it's pretty good.
Good. I'm going to watch that. My kids love the Sherlock Holmes thing, so.
Yeah, they'll really enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
All right, final question. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
So I'm on Instagram at Brendan Kane. Also my website, brendanjkane.com. And then also I'll give them a link to a free masterclass on this gaining attention. We typically charge for it, but I want to give it to your listeners for free. If they go to hookpoint.com/masterclass. And it's basically an hour and a half of free content, just diving in how to develop these hook points, what they are, and all of that.
So everybody, hook
Gina, point. What's the hook point, first of all? What's the hook point?
What get them in, bro.
Oh, I thought it was going to. I thought the multifamily was a scam.
That's a great hook point to start with.
Well, my favorite hook point is, if it makes you money, it costs you nothing. That's the hook point right there, because we sell education, and education gets that, you know, that stigma of, wow, you're paying for something. And obviously, if you're investing in your education, and I can save you a few bucks, did it really cost you anything? So I think there's a lot of different slogans that we can start utilizing much more effectively to it. So I just wanted to repeat that it's hook. Hookpoint.com /masterclass. It's going to be down in the link in the Facebook. So everyone go out and check it out because it's awesome. Hook point, 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. It's gone, it's right, quick. Jake?
It's gone. Poof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they can get the book at hookpoint.com as well.
Awesome.
Gino, any parting words today?
I can recap real quick, Jake. 2005, Brendan heads out to LA. He's in college. He loves what he's doing, film school. He gets disillusioned. He's like, I'm not the corporate guy. This is not for me. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, but I love movies. So how can I monetize this? How can I start making money doing this? And then all of a sudden, I think it's a perfect storm. Social media starts taking off. The film industry is a dinosaur. They don't know how to pivot. And he starts creating these amazing businesses. And he starts writing books. He's in California still. Hopefully he'll become a Florida resident soon, real soon. And he's created an amazing book. And I just want to go over those three pillars again, because it's really important. It's the number one, the pattern interrupt. Number two, it's the narrative, keeping a person's attention. And number three, just be credible. Know what you're talking about. Don't be a scam artist. If you can nail all three of those, you'll do an amazing job with your business.
Very good. Brendan, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brendan. Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.